Again, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray, please. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With those words in mind, let's take a few moments in silence to confess our sins to the Lord. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people. Our hands. This is the feast. Lord be with you and also with you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
What does it mean to be called by God? The Bible has many, many instances of God specifically calling individuals to a specific mission at a specific time. The call of Moses was a pivotal event in Israel's history. Moses had grown up in Egypt, but had to flee to the rough mountainous region of the southern Sinai Peninsula. It was there that Moses encountered the living Lord God in the burning bush. Our reading is from Exodus chapters 3 and 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And God said, "So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and verses 10 through 13. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time, and we ask that you would gift us with a pouring out of your Holy Spirit into each one of our hearts, that we would not only learn more, but experience your presence with us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. As we dive into this brand new series about being called, the first person we're going to take a look at is Moses, and we're going to be touching on the Exodus event. Now, the Exodus event, we think of Exodus, perhaps you think, okay, that's a book in the Old Testament, and if you study it a little bit, you know, it's the second book in the Old Testament, and if you study it a bit more, as you dive in more deeply, you realize that the Exodus, the actual Exodus, the leaving Egypt from slavery through the Red Sea into first the wilderness and then into the Promised Land, that Exodus event, the delivery of the people of Israel from slavery, is really the central event in the Old Testament. And for the Jewish people today, if you ask them what's the pivotal event in our history, they would, almost all of them would say it's the Exodus. And one of the things to keep in mind, and you think, well, okay, that's a great history lesson. Thank you, Pastor Steve. But here's the thing: this deeply impacts the writings in the New Testament as well. In fact, when we see Jesus go up on what we call the Mountain of Transfiguration, it's recorded in the Gospels, what we see is Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples, up on this mountain. And while they're up there, Jesus is transfigured and he just appears just brilliant white. And then they're looking, as they're watching, they see Moses and Elijah, and they overhear them talking about Jesus' departure from this world. Well, you might think, well, departure, okay, he's going to the cross. Well, in the Greek, the word literally is exodus. Because, you know, this exodus event that we're going to be looking at with Moses, it was the pivotal event for them, but it was just a foretaste and really even a shadow of the most glorious deliverance that would come about. You see, the people of Israel were delivered from slavery to Pharaoh. But we, through Jesus Christ, are delivered from slavery to sin and death and the power of the devil. And so the Exodus event for us is just a foretaste of the great one to come. And the Exodus event, and Moses is just a shadow of the deliverer that Jesus would be. And what's interesting, any of these characters that we're going to be looking at over these next weeks, I always want you to not look at them necessarily as somebody to be emulated, to follow in their footsteps somehow. But I want you to compare them to Jesus. And let me ask you something. When we compare ourselves to Jesus, how do we generally look? Well, humble, hopefully. And what we see is, what we're going to see is, I'm going to walk through this text that I've chosen for today, Moses at the burning bush. And I know it might be a little hard to see, but what I love on this picture is his look. He just has this, what is going on here kind of look. And now, let me ask you, now I know in the whole country you've seen plenty of burning bushes, right? Unfortunately. However, this one was not consumed. It just kept going. And he comes up and he sees it and it's just by itself. Nothing else around it is burning. And so he comes and explores and God starts to speak to him. But again, I want you to, through all of this, be thinking, how does this compare to Jesus? And not to put Moses down, but more to put him in his proper perspective. I had a wonderful professor that I had, and I learned, I would say probably learned more from this one person than anyone else at seminary. And he said, "No, look, you pastors, you need to understand something." He had his finger going too. And he said, "You need to understand that there's only one hero in the Bible, and it's God. It is Jesus Christ, it is it's the Father, and it is the Holy Spirit. They are the only true heroes, and you don't forget that." Okay, yes, sir. And I get it. I mean, there are lots of heroic figures. But as you get to know them, Bible, better, as you study the Bible more deeply, you'll see the Bible's brutally honest about the people in the Bible. Like King David, most ancient cultures would only write of his great and wonderful achievements. But what do they write about? His sin, murdering somebody, committing adultery. I mean, all of these things that go in. You see Moses, and just from what we see here, well, you know what? Moses murdered somebody, and that's before this. And we see how he talks to God and his attitude. And so as we take a look at this, we got it. Again, remember, we're comparing it to Jesus. And what we see is this open tomb. And here's the thing. That ain't Moses. The exodus from the tomb was for all of us, not just for a group of people, named the Israelites that were enslaved. And when Jesus comes out of that tomb, death is defeated. He is risen. Hallelujah. Okay. And as we look at his call, let's look at some of these scriptures that we have here. And in chapter 3, verse 4, Moses is approached and he's wondering about this. And God called to Moses from within the bush. And he says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Now, I will say that the call of the prophets, that seems to happen. And even when Mary is called to be the mother of Jesus, the angel Gabriel comes and says her name. Okay? We'll see it with Samuel, the prophet, the great prophet and priest. You know, middle of the night, Samuel, as a young boy, hears this, "Samuel, Samuel." And he runs into the guy in the next room and says, "Here I am." He said, "No, it's the Lord. Samuel, Samuel." And the fact is, he calls each one of us by name. But we're going to get to that later, toward the end of this message. But so Moses responds. Is that a good thing? Yeah, that's all right. Chalk one up. Good job, Moses. Here's the good. Here's the other, and we'll see how this balances out. So. We go through, we have this conversation, God is identifying who he is, and then, so what we see is God says to Moses, "So go, now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." He's explained, they're in slavery, they're hurting, they're crying out to me, they're needing my help. So now, go, Moses. Okay. How's that? Is that pretty clear? Is there any, like, problem with clarity here as far as the call? I know for us, we might wonder, okay, is God telling me to do this? Is he not telling me to do this? How many of you have struggled with that sometimes, like wondering exactly what God's wanting you to do? Now, if God came to you, and I've had people say, "Well, I'll do that if God comes and tells me like this." Here's my, well, you know what I asked back? I said, "Would you now? What do you think of Moses? Oh, he was a great man. He was a prophet of God. He listened to God." Well, okay. Let's see. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" All right. Is that a fair question? Yeah, who am I? You know, and in fact, that's a great question for us to ask God. Who am I to do this? You know what? Mary asks that question, doesn't she? How shall this be? And here's the difference, all right? So that's, and then verse 12, God says this. God said, "I will be with you." And that's the same thing God said to Mary, mother of Jesus, "I'll be with you." Now, is that pretty reassuring? You would think, right? Well, let's see. Let's see what he does. He says, Moses answered. Now, we're skipping over a little bit because Moses has been kind of building up to this. Moses answered, "What if they," the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, everybody, "don't believe me or listen to me and said, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Okay, fair question. Oh, I think so. I think we're still okay. I'm not going to give him a point for this, but I'll give him a point for good questions. How's that? We'll give him a point. And Moses, you know, is answered by God, of course. And so then it becomes this whole thing with the staff. Take the staff, throw it down, and remember what it turns into? Snake, a serpent, okay? And he put... the part that we don't think of often, he said, "Now put your hand inside your cloak." He said, takes it out, and it's all leprous. How's that for a sign? Lord, how about something else? You know, there it is. So that's another sign. He's giving them all these signs, and then he starts saying more about touch, you know, if they still don't believe you, touch the water of the Nile and it will turn to blood. Okay? Now, these are pretty convincing things, right? I mean, it turned into a serpent. The staff did. I mean, he had leprosy on his hands, right? I mean, and then it was healed when he put, just so you know, it was healed when he put it back in and took it back out. Convincing signs. All right, so God says, okay, we'll do this. So Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. I'm not a good speaker. I don't know what to do. Okay, can you see? God is far more patient than this, but if it were me, I'd be going, okay. How many of you have ever made excuses to God? But God, I don't have this or this or this or this. All right, so he says, being honest, I'm slow of speech and tongue. And you want me to be the spokesman to convince Pharaoh, who has all these, who is negotiating with people from all over the world and officials from all over the world. You want me to, and he has his whole court with people who are brilliant, and you want me, who can barely get out a sentence, to go and do this? And the Lord says, okay, well, let me reassure you about something. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? And what's the implication here? And just a side note for yourself. If you feel like the Lord's calling you to do something, you think, but Lord, if you start out, but Lord, anything, right? But Lord, it's good to remember this. Who gave you your mouth? Who gave the gift of speech? Who provided the resources? Who has the cattle on every hill? Who is the one? And then he says, okay, it's you. But he says, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Now, is that a good promise? Yeah, it's a great promise. You know, what we should have had was a points for God here. All right, well, you know he's going to outscore everybody here. All right, end of story, right? Moses is set. He said, okay, God, thank you for the reassurance. I love this. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. And then what? Let's say this together. Please send someone else. And I know, bless our hearts, right? Those of you that were Easter when Pastor Tobias said, I learned Texan, bless your hearts, right? There it is. Well, I'm not saying bless your heart. I'm saying bless our hearts. Bless our hearts. That is so often what we think. It's so often what we say. And we're like, okay, good, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to provide. Somebody else, Lord. Somebody who has seminary training. Or someone who has more money. Or somebody that has more skill or more energy or more, I mean, fill in the blank, more than I do. Send somebody else. You notice I haven't really been keeping score over here. Do I need to? So, remember, we compare Moses to Jesus, right? How did Jesus do on every one of these things? Let's take the Garden of Gethsemane. We just were talking about it a couple weeks ago. He's in there and he's praying. And one of his prayers is, Lord, take this cup from me. Take it from me. And he says, but. And you know what? Moses, when he says, but, he makes an excuse. He gives a reason why he shouldn't be able to do it. But Jesus, when he uses that word, but, he says, but not my will, but yours be done. Okay? Jesus goes to the cross willingly. He knows where it's leading, but he does it. And he does it for each and every one of us, for our exodus from sin and death and the devil, the consequences of those things. And so as we think about the calling and the fact that we are called, that Moses was called, I don't want you to just think that this book is just a book of history or a book of stories or a book of good examples, because it's a living book. And as you read it, there's so much in here. As you read, especially as you get into the New Testament, what you'll see is, now wait a minute, that was written almost 2,000 years ago, and it's applying to me right now, today. That's the nature of this book. And what we see is, as we are in the book, that each one of us is called to do this. And I want to just spend a couple of minutes wrapping this up with these things. And these, if you want to take some notes, this might be helpful for you. How do we discern? Moses was at the burning bush. We don't have a burning bush typically. All right? And we don't need to wait on it, right? Because Moses was being called at a specific time for a specific purpose. And what we look at, and when we say these things, if you say to yourself, well, God, if you'll give me a burning bush, I'll take some action or I'll listen. Do we have to wait for these kind of signs in order to know God's will? Absolutely not. To know God's calling on our lives? How do we do it? How do we learn or how do we discern that call? A few things. One is, first of all, we lean on the Lord's strength. We're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not on our own understanding. And what we see is that we don't need to wait for a burning bush because we have his word. And we have the living word, Jesus Christ. And you see, God makes his will known to us, our calling to us, through Jesus, who is the word of God made flesh. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. We have the written word. So we can pray for the Holy Spirit to come on us. But listen, just because the Holy Spirit, you feel like the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, this is always, always the thing we go back to say, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything that's contradictory to this book, ever. And so if you go to somebody or somebody comes to you and say, well, I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling me to do this really sinful thing, but I just feel like it's the right thing. You say, well, it may be something, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You may have a real desire to do this, but it's not this. So we look at this. We go through prayer and discernment, but we also are together as the body of Christ. We consult one another and ask one another and seek one another's hearts. We look at how has God acted in the past and how is God at work today. So next steps for us. I think the first thing, you know, we follow Christ's example. We humble ourselves before him every single day. We don't wait for that one moment of that one big burning bush moment in our lives. Every single day we seek God's heart. We seek in love. We take up our cross and follow Jesus. We wash feet, that example of that humble service every single day. You know, you see, when we lean on not on our own strength, what happens is, what we see is God says to us, you know what? I know it's a Beatles quote, but you know, life happens when you're making other plans. And that really is a truth here, that our faith walk happens, our life as disciples of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, happens while we're making other plans. It's just every day. God's asking you not to say, okay, and you know, for Moses, it was out here and then this land and this big event. And that may be something that God's calling you to. But the fact of the matter is, what God's saying is today. How many of you know for sure that you're going to be here tomorrow? Like absolute certainty, 100%. Put my hand down. What moment do you have? Right now. And so what God says to us, I want you to be faithful right now. I want you to love. I want you to serve. I want you to wash feet right now. You want to know what my will is? Yes. Seek this and you'll know. Take up your cross and follow me every single moment of every single day. Takes courage. Took a lot of courage for Moses to go. But I dare say it takes enormous courage to live as God has called us, with that kind of love, with that kind of sacrifice, to be that faithful. To take the bold steps, yes, but to take those little steps every single day. I love Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we'll close with this. He tells us, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's his word to us. Let's pray, please. Lord God, we thank you for this time. Bless us as we come to your table to receive you. And we come humbly, and we're so grateful that you were perfect. You were the new Moses and the perfect Moses. You didn't just do an Exodus event for a group of people at one time. You deliver us all from sin and death and the devil. Bless us in our walk with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the prayer and redemption of all that you have made. Both gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please continue in prayer with me. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty Lord, Father, we praise you and we thank you, for you are good, your love endures forever. We praise you, Lord, for creating the heavens and the earth, the stars and every galaxy, the vastness of the universe, but also each and every one of us. Your love endures forever. Father, we praise you for raising your beloved Son from the dead, for defeating sin and death that we may live a new life now and forever. Send your Holy Spirit and renew our faith. We praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, for the gift of the land, the gift of friendships and families, for the gift of rain. Your love indeed endures forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we pray for peace between the nations of this world, for peace in the Middle East, for peace in Ukraine, for peace in every nation, community, and family. Almighty God, we carry those who are dear to us and lay them at your feet, seeking your healing and help. Watch over those who have been hospitalized this past week, especially Curtis Stout, Rosalie Lochte, and Clinton Foygie. Bless and strengthen all who are in hospice care, Alice Behrens, Emma Hirschfield, Bill Petmetke, and give strength and healing to all who are undergoing treatment and therapy. Watch over those who are battling mental illness, those who suffer from depression or anxiety. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we're bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It was in the night in which he was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." I'd like to invite you to be seated and invite those who will be assisting today to come forward as we celebrate Holy Communion. This is a meal for all the baptized who believe in Jesus Christ and who believe that he's truly present with us in through the bread and the wine. We will be coming and kneeling at the altar rail this side.